Welcome back to the show. A call in number is 941-955-0930. And then, of course, if you want to send us any questions for our guest or for us for the show, send them to info@businessbewareradioshow.com. We are getting ready to talk to Scott Gerber. Once again, he's with AskGerber.com, and he's got the book that's coming out in December that's called Never Get a Real Job that you can pre-sale or pre-order. Pre-sale. Well, there you go.
It is pre-sale right now, and you can pre-order.
Well, there you go. Okay. I didn't mess that up. So anyway, but excited to talk to him because he's just an awesome guy. Scott, you there?
I'm here. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
I can't complain.
Oh, that's how it should be.
Hey, Scott. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Did you hear my introduction before you came on?
I did, and you are really obsessed with that Xbox line. I got to tell you.
Now, I tell you, I think you enjoyed it yourself after you said it last time, too. I remember your exact words. It was, did I say that? I need to write that down. No, that was a good one, man. I tell you what, it was, and well-deserved, too, because I have said that for many, many years. And another thing, like Ashley told you before, one of the biggest things I like about what you had to say is, and I've said it before too, is, you know, find your niche.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be the same old, you know, guy or girl out there doing the same old thing, you know, flying your flag, you know, flying all these red, you know, red flag amongst red flags. Get a blue flag, paint it blue, paint mm-hmm. a little green on it, and fly it among the red ones. Guess what? Someone's going to notice you.
Absolutely. You know, that's really right now, especially where, you know, I always say it's not a job market, it's an opportunity market. And the reason is because all the big fish all think that they've got their markets covered. And the reality is that they don't. And a lot of the smaller fish now have the opportunity to really start biting into those bottom lines by just carving out these little tiny centers for business. And if they just keep, like you said, getting those blue flags up, big business be watching out very, very quickly.
That's right. And, you know, another thing, too, is find that niche. Be the expert with that niche. Do it well, and you will be noticed sooner or later. Because, you know, yes, it's going to take some time. Everything takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing you were saying last time is, you know, everybody wants something quick. Everybody wants it now. And it's just not like that in business.
No, it's absolutely not. And it's really the person who's in it to win it will win it. I think that as long as you are able to carve out the right niche, and as long as you are not just okay at something, but you're proficient, you have a good personality, you've got quality content and advice and information to give to customers and prospects and people in the general mass media and community, you can really make a real world of hurt happen to these larger companies that are just missing, like I said, on these smaller niche opportunities by just basically becoming the you know, niche expert of that field. And it doesn't cost anything. It costs opportunity cost. You know, it's time. It's making sure that you can turn that time into profits, because obviously you don't want to just be touting from a holy pulpit just for the, you know, sake of saying things that, you know, to tout your own personality brand.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, a lot of opportunity.
That's right. And, you know, don't say things to hear yourself talk. I mean,
exactly.
You know, I've heard my voice enough, and I really don't like that much anyway, so I don't want to hear it. You know, whenever I say something, I want to mean something. It's just that simple.
I can actually tell you guys a funny story. In the last, last 2 weeks, I was speaking in front of a couple of folks, and they asked me, what's the best advice you can tell me to say in a presentation? You know, I seem to have these people losing me after 10 minutes, so I told them, shut up. so you have to be relevant. You have to be, you know, mindful of the fact that these people are giving you their ear. And in like I said in the last time, which I'll just repeat it because I know you're going to get laugh out of it, in the, you know, Xbox playing culture that we have, you've got 30 seconds, and, you know, you have the average YouTube viewer, so to speak, being a consumer, that they can't stand to sit for more than 2 minutes for a single video. What makes you think you could speak for 30, have something really relevant to say and powerful to say, and they're going to stick with you? So you just have to be mindful of the fact that, like you said, it's not about what you want to say to make yourself sound good. It's what are you going to say to help others, and then in turn, them see you as the expert you actually are.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people, here again, they try to outsmart their common sense. And, you know, they try too hard at things. Sometimes it's best just to sit back, see what people want you to tell them, and then address those things. Well, tell us about your book, Never Get a Real Job. Why is that?
Yep, exactly. You know, I say this too, just going back to the sales thing I was just saying a second ago with regarding the book as well. I'll get to that, but the one thing that I guess you could say that businessmen make the biggest mistake in the world of is not listening to their customers. I think that a lot of people think that they just keep, talking about how amazing their products are, how great their services are, and all these such things, and they're going to win over business, and that can't be farther from the truth. But again, these tips and more and never get a real job, you know. So anyway.
That's right.
Exactly.
No, the book, it's definitely exciting. This was actually the week that I finished the final copy-edited version with the publisher, Wiley. It's available for pre-order now on AskGerber.com through all of the major retailers, Borders, Barnes & Noble, 800 CEO Read, etc. And it's really exciting. I mean, there's been a lot of buzz, which is great because, you know, really this is addressing a major issue in this country, which is how do we get Gen Y from a lost generation to the truly entrepreneurial generation it's meant to be, because of the fact of between economic turmoil, banking industry crisis, and everything in between, you have underemployment and unemployment in some cases as high as 40, even 50% in this country in various different states and cities. That's just unacceptable. So that's why this new, hopefully proactive solution of people getting off their behinds and making something happen on their own time and on their own dime is really going to make an impact in this community.
Well, I tell you, the main thing I heard from you right there is get up off your behinds, because that's what they've got to do, you know. And like I've told you before, you know, I've got three daughters, and Ashley's the oldest. And, of course, she was out of college, what, 4 years ago now, something like that?
Yeah.
And I've got my youngest who's getting ready to be a senior in college. And, you know, like I said on the Internet, just probably a month ago, it said, congratulations, seniors.
Nobody wants you.
Nobody wants you.
Yeah. And it's absolutely true. I mean, literally, there was a new research study that showed something along the lines of 37%, and this is of all Gen Y. This is not just any kind of specific state or anything. All Gen Y, 37% of those folks, 18 to 29, have been unemployed or underemployed at some point since late 2007. Mm. So we can either keep the trend going, and we can put our heads in the sand and say, well, this is just, you know, this happens every 10 to 15 years. You know, there's a dip, and then we all rise above. But it's not going to happen. And I think that this is the first time, I mean, because, I mean, I just to take a step back and criticize your generation for a second, you know, Ashley and I will team up and go against you for a minute.
Let's do it.
Wait a minute. Be careful, because Mike and I are both here.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's a great idea. But no, I mean, what the problem now is you've got a lot of strongholds in the parent and say, grandparent generations. A lot of the folks in the older generations don't get it because they still want to hold to what they know to be true, which is the mantra. You know, again, we talked about that last time of work hard, get good grades, go to college to get a real job, and as if that really still applies. The problem is, while people can talk about how, you know, this happens every 10 years, we have recessions, things burst, the problem is it's never burst in a time where you have mass globalization, fewer hyper-local employment opportunities, and really competition, because you now have 19 million college students, plus online students, you know, plus GED students, plus all these other opportunities in the education system that you were not competing with back when you guys were growing up. So the problem is we can either realize that mantra is broken and destroyed, and that a liberal arts education does not mean a damn thing anymore, or we can move forward and say, you know, we're going to keep trying to keep this path because that's what the system is dictating. And I think that it's time to go the other fork.
Hey, I'm right with you, brother. I'll tell you right now, you got a high five from Mike, and his finger was on the hang-up button until you said that, because he was really worried about what you're going to say about our generation. But he took his finger off, so you're okay now. But, you know, you're exactly right. And another thing that they have to deal with, too, in the workplace is, you know, it's like I've told my daughters, is a lot of times, you know, what do you need whenever you go get a job, whether you're If you're a service business, or, you know, you're trying to get someone else's business, or you're an employee trying to get a job, you need experience.
Yep.
And now what these girls and guys are doing who are 20 to 25 years old, they're going up against people who have 20 and 25 years of experience,
mm-hmm.
wanting the same job they do that used to not be there for them because they had, you know, a higher paying job.
Mm-hmm.
Now they don't have a higher paying job. So they're all vying for the same job, and they've got, you know, they've got 20 years of experience in that field, and you know, these kids just don't have a chance.
I mean, this is also, keep in mind, the first kind of time in our history that three generations are in the workforce at the same time.
Right.
That is something that is unprecedented. And so it's natural that you're going to have a shift where when the older generations get laid off, now they obviously feel some sense of seniority because that's how they've been built to understand the way the system works. So, of course, now when they can't get those seniority jobs, they're taking a stand saying, well, if I can't get that previous job with that previous level I've gotten, well, I have to at least be put in front of these, you know, Gen Y kids who, you know, are recent college grads. They don't know anything. And suddenly now you have employers saying, well, I can get a lot for a little. Why don't I go for a lot and then pay a little?
That's
the competition.
That's exactly right. And you know, in the older generation, they're getting wise to this. They're going in saying this. I mean, the first thing they walk through the door is, look, I've got all this experience, and now I'll work for half of what I used to work for because, you know, I've still got a mortgage to pay. I've still got to buy food. I've still got, you know, a family. And, you know, yeah, they may be out, you know, my two or three kids may be out of the house, but I've still got a wife to support and myself. I've still got five dogs in the house. I don't know. They got to pay for something.
No,
they got insurance, you know, and that's just what's going on. Well, look.
We can go on for hours as to why, you know, there's so many things wrong with the way that people have gotten comfortable. But I'll just say this. I think that right now, it's a crossroads. And the crossroads, like I said, is basically we will become the most entrepreneurial generation in history, or we'll become a truly lost generation because of debt, economic turmoil, banking destruction, and the quest for the no longer real job.
Absolutely. And those crossroads, you know, those crossroads are here, and it's going to make a difference which, you know, when you come up to a stop sign, do you take a left turn, a right turn, or what do you do? We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. We're going to get a little news update right now, and we'll be back.
And we are back talking with Scott Gerber. Scott, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, but we were talking last time, and this kind of stuck out my mind because you talk about you got to get off your butt and just do something.
Yep.
But you know, another thing too about, you know, with our society and, you know, some of the younger generation, they see, like, you know, these kids on MTV and different things, like they have their own reality show, and they think, if I'm 30 and I don't have my own reality show, I'm a failure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was a national study taken a couple of years ago that asked high school students, you know, what do you think you're going to be when you get older? And literally almost 75% in some community said a rock star or a basketball player.
Wow.
And that is how screwed up as a generation we've gotten. You know, in the book specifically, and Never Get a Real Job, I specifically make the case that, you know, there's really two sides to how we've gotten so screwed up. The first is basically your parents, MTV, and the whole, you know, concept of mentors from yesteryear. And the other reason is because you bought it hook, line, and sinker, and when you realized you were mediocre, you said, well, I must not be mediocre because I'm wonderful, and you went on believing the BS. So now you have to unlearn all that, and that's how you move forward. The reality is our culture right now is so screwed up because of all of the hysteria, all of the entertainment stuff, you know, because people believe this is real.
Right.
And, you know, like I said last time, I believe also, you know, everybody now thinks they're going to start a Facebook.
Right.
And what burns me, especially when I, you know, talk around the country and speak to these young kids, you know, it kills me because you have these professors or their peers or people that are, I don't want to say uneducated, but not with it, not getting it, that are all just say, follow your passions. Be passionate about what you do. Duh. You should be passionate, but you also should make money. You know,
business
is about making money. I don't care if you love what you do. I don't care if you're passionate about what you do. That's important and that's understood. The reality, though, is if you can't make money doing what you're doing, or you can't find a business model that can even make money at some immediate or very, very short time order period, then what are you really doing? And that's what our culture is teaching us. Fame, fortune, and sexiness, and not generate money to pay my rent tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, fame, fortune, and, you know, all that stuff, that's good. But a lot of people are living also in a, how should I say it, a reality world, unreality world, whichever one you want to call it. But they don't realize, you know, what's bad is these kids have seen their dads and moms work hard. I mean, you know, go to work 8 to 5. 9 to 6, whatever it is, you know, 10 hours a day, you know, 5, 6, 7 days a week, depending on what job you're in, and, you know, put food on the table and everything else. Do they not see that, Scott?
No,
I don't understand.
They don't understand it because you got to remember, our entire lives when we were playing soccer in fifth grade, we won a prize for being winners when we came in 10th place.
I know.
So there really is no, we were put on a pedestal, basically, and as part of that pedestal, we were told we were wonderful, we were perfect, we were going to take the world by storm, be president of the United States, write the next American novel, and cure cancer. And when all these things didn't happen, people all of a sudden, instead of all of a sudden saying, well, keep going, or it takes real work to do this, it was all of a sudden, well, I guess, you know, you didn't really meet those expectations, so go get a real job, and we don't even know what that means, because we weren't brought up with that concept. Well, so yes, we have a different philosophy of the work hard. I think that the problem is that our philosophy of work hard and your philosophy of work hard need to, in some ways, really meet in the middle.
Right.
But the problem is, and I blame both sides on this, you know, I suffered for years from you know, figuring out what the right kind of, you know, Gen Y formula was from even my businesses. And it really just comes down to getting back to basics of understanding, in order to survive on this earth, you need to make a certain amount of money. What level of work ethic will it take to do just that?
Well, you know, another thing too, Scott, as you're talking about that, one thing I'm sitting here thinking about, have you ever seen the movie Men of Honor?
Well, of course.
Okay. You know, and you know, he's out in the field with his dad, and he's getting ready to leave, and he hands him his radio. He says, don't come back. Don't be like me. How many movies have you seen like that? And that's the storyline. Don't be like me.
Yeah, and what you don't see, it's the one in a million. It's the, we created Facebook. It's the, we were bought out by Google for $18 billion, you know. But these are the stories you hear. And again, going back to, you know, my shameless self-promotion of my book, you know, you have this whole thing we talk about, the culture shift of entrepreneurship in your day even. And I believe in this, and this is something that I wish would have transcended to this generation. You know, entrepreneurship was about, the family owns a store. The store works really hard, feeds and supports the family. The son then carries on the tradition, or the daughter carries on the tradition, and so on and so forth. And you work really, really hard.
And what's the matter with that?
No, there's nothing the matter with that.
That's
but
right.
Unfortunately, what the problem is now is our generation sees it as, entrepreneurship isn't about making an income. Entrepreneurship is about being a multimillionaire by the age of 30.
Right.
That's how this rock star generation of truly successful entrepreneurs, and I don't discredit them in any way, but the one in a million shots, the Steve Jobs, the Richard Bransons, the Bill Gates, all these guys, you know, build up these empires. They are one in a billion, but our generation sees them as one in 10. And well, that's a real big problem.
And that's exactly right. You take Sam Walton. Do you know how many times he went bankrupt before he made it?
Nobody ever talks about the failures of the big guys. I mean, it's actually really funny. When I was growing up, you know, I always used to make fun of all these reality, not like reality shows, but, you know, like the teen drama shows, like Dawson's Creek and all these other, like, you know, teen shows we grew up
yeah.
with.
Don't knock it. No, I'm just kidding.
But it's really funny because if you really look carefully on television, and I really realized this, like, probably, like, late 20s, I realized this, but I'm like, okay, you've got a lot of shows about high school, a lot of shows about college. And then after college, everybody seemingly is in their 30s and happy and successful. What the heck happened to between 21 and 29?
Yeah. It's the truth, though.
But I can't find a single show that talks about the recent post-grad going into work for the $150,000 job, because it doesn't exist. But the problem is they can't put it out there because they can't sell it. And they can't sell it because this generation doesn't have the capacity to understand that that doesn't happen. So...
Well, you know, also, Scott, one other thing that they have to deal with, too, is just like the other day, I'm sitting there, you know, eating my dinner, watching TV, and, you know, the news comes on and it starts talking about, again, now all these companies that we've bailed out, and they're starting to, the questions come up again about bonuses.
Yep.
And they're sitting there, you know, I mean, it's all in our media and everything else, and they're saying that $1.58 billion is being paid out to these, you know, these banking institutions, these, you know, head people in the banks. And, you know, kids see this and they go, oh, my God, that's what I want. I want part of that. I want part of that pie. Well, guess what?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
That's most of those, it's like being a Major League Baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those jobs are available?
There's well, not only that, but whenever we talk numbers now, it's aggregated totals, right? So you look at, like, a business that was bought out for, let's say, $100 million. And, again, I'm not saying that everybody in that company doesn't make a lot of money. But, you know, our generation, for the most part, doesn't understand Series A stock or what the difference in various levels and tiers of investment are. You know, there's a difference between the founder of the company and the 50 to 60 to 6,000 people that are also a part of it in terms of who's getting paid. It's not one person gets paid $100 million. You know, again... With that being said, do I think that our culture should still keep that passion and drive and the want to basically create a business with the utmost of success intentions? Of course.
Yes.
You know, whether that be to pass your business on to another generation or try to sell it to a large institution, that's fine. The problem is that can't be the goal in terms of the here and now goal. That can be the dream, that can be the greatness, but that can't drive your business. The driving your business needs to be a revenue model that you can work day in and day out, grow day by day, inch by inch, mile by mile, and eventually turn what those efforts are into a sustainable and fruitful business that is going to keep you successful for years to come. That's the goal.
That's exactly right. It's a tortoise and a hare.
There you go.
You want to start off quick and lose everything, which many people have done and they'll continue to do, or do you want to be steady? And the thing is, you know, set your sights for the skies. There's no problem with that, but be satisfied with what you have between those times.
Right. I think that what really is going to change things is as younger entrepreneurs start to see what real success is and not just hyperinflated or newsworthy success is, I think we're going to start to kind of overcome those feelings of you have to go for the rich by 30s. Because when people really realize that they're able to have a sustainable income on their own back, I think that you really have a sense of self-worth and appreciation. The problem is in those early stages where you're most likely to quit, you know, in that first month, in that first 3 months, in that first year, you know, that's where it gets really tough. And that's where you have to really believe in what you're doing, really believe it can generate real revenue. And when you get that money in, it's the greatest feeling in the world.
Sure. And you know, I think the biggest thing that everybody out there has to realize, and you know, folks, we're talking to all age groups, but mainly to, you know, the kids out of school and the ones looking for the jobs in that age group right now. What you've got to do is you've got to set your sights on something, set a goal, stick to it, have stick-to-itiveness, and that's
work
a long
ethic.
Word. Work ethic. Yeah, it all, you know, bound together, but you got to be happy. People are not happy with where they're at because a lot of times they set their goals too high.
Mm-hmm.
Too quick is what it is.
Absolutely. And it's all how you play it. But if I could say one thing to your listeners, you know, that really hopefully will make them understand how truly important this is. You know, if there are a lot of parents of Gen Y kids, and I know I've spoken to hundreds across the country through email, on the phones, all these different things while I was writing the book, and even now, you know, this is not the time to think you know what is best for your kids. This is the time to basically instill in them real virtues, real support, and give them the freedom that they need to be able to fall flat on their face when they have to be successful, give them applause when necessary. But really what I can tell you right now is if you push them to keep sending out these resumes and not take responsibility for what they can do and how they can do it, your kids are not going to be satisfied in what they're looking to do in the future. So support them in the right ways. Help them uncover their talents. Help them uncover how they can make money and push those and make it happen.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we're going to go here to a break real quick, but tell us real quick about your book one more time and tell us some of the other things you do. Don't you write some columns too?
Absolutely. Well, first off, you know, basically the book, Never Get a Real Job, How to Dump Your Boss, Build a Business, and Not Go Broke.
That's right.
It was basically came from my column on Entrepreneur Magazine, which basically got syndicated to all these other outlets like MSNBC, Fox Business, Huffington Post, Small Biz Trends, you know, and basically through that, Wiley had contacted me to write this book because my goal was to not write another run-of-the-mill, you know, advice book to say, hey, pat on the back, you can start a business, good luck, and it's going to happen because you're going to be an entrepreneur. No, this is a real deal, no BS, in-your-face approach to small business, specifically for Gen Yers, by a Gen Yer, to combat unemployed and underemployment and unemployment in this country. And I think that it's something that is practical, and most importantly, it's something that I've done. So I can stand behind everything in this book that has taken me from being someone who had no money in the bank to being someone who had no entrepreneurial backstory or heritage, no business education. In fact, as a joke to your listeners, I used to be a filmmaker, went to film school, never took a business or a mathematics class in college. So there you go, liberal arts education. But at the end of the day, I built several successful businesses that gross hundreds of thousands, if not millions, depending on the year in business. And the reality is I did it all because of these simple steps and these practical things that you can find in Never Get a Real Job. So help me start a movement, everybody. I'm recruiting people to make this a reality, to get Gen Y where it needs to be. AskGerber.com. You can pre-order on all the major sites. The book comes out December 8th, 2010, nationwide. But we're looking to get those pre-sale orders up so I can get this out to the masses. So if you can help me with that, I'd really appreciate it.
Oh, we'll do it. Hey, listen, you're passionate about it. We love it. We need more guys like you, and we'll talk to you soon, and we'll have you back on.
Sounds great, guys.
All right,
have a good day.
You too.
All right, thank
Bye-bye.
You, Scott.